The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. Good Thursday. Been off the last few days, had some surgery. You know when they say that surgery is minor? Yeah, this person's having minor surgery. It's always minor on the person that is not having the surgery. Okay, I had a hernia. It's a guy thing, right? And it sucked. There's no other way to put it. They did it laparoscopically. So it's a laser that goes into your gut. This was last Friday. People over at St. Joe's, they were great. Dr. Decca, he was awesome. I was told going in by many, many, many dudes that, you know, a hernia, you're going to be on your back for a month. No, you're going to be on your back for 2 weeks. You're going to be miserable. You're going to be this. You're going to be that. You know what? It's not getting old. It's not an old guy's thing. But you do sit there as they're wheeling you in saying, come on, really? I got to miss a show to do this? And then you lay around and stuff's happening. And I want to do a show. I thought about doing a show on Monday and Jordan did it. And Wednesday and Jordan did it. And thought about doing the thing from home. But, you know, you just got to get back at it at some point. I'm watching the draft lottery. I'm seeing everybody in Milwaukee celebrate while the Suns fans out here just burying their head saying, what's going on? And then about 10 minutes ago, Adam Schefter tweets out that Patrick Peterson is getting a 6-game ban. So I want to talk about that, obviously. We're going to get into it. Scott Bordeaux is going to be with us here momentarily from The Athletic, Cardinals insider with The Athletic, to get his view on what is happening. There's a lot of thoughts on it, and I'll get to it shortly. There's some other things I want to get to. Goody at the Movies will be with us at the end of the show. We'll lighten things up, as we always do. Bill Goodykuntz, AZ Central Gannett Film and Chief Media Critic. Bill has some movies that he wants to talk about today, including The Biggest Little Farm. We do movies every Thursday because guys like movies. All right, if you're just finding us, welcome. We do our thing at 10 a.m. live, and then it rotates round and round and round. We do our TV show over on Fox Sports Arizona. Appreciate the partnership with them and our website, all the content at sports360az.com. We're brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most, and that means life insurance. So there I am. I'm sitting there with the gown on, and I'm thinking, do I have everything handled? Do I have everything in place? Yeah, it was a minor surgery to everybody else. To me, it's surgery, right? If you're in that same space, you think, oh, you know what? I'll get to it at some other point in time. Guys, it doesn't matter if you're in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, wherever you are in life, there's stuff that you need to take care of. And life insurance can do that for you. So can annuities. So can just sitting with someone, as I was doing this morning at about 6:45, going over where they are in life and where they want to go in retirement. Okay, you have to have some people on your side, and Sagicor can do that for you. Yeah, I have my license. I got my license last year because I just felt like it was the smart thing to do, and the good people at Sagicor looked around and said, I'd like to work here. So they're a proud part of what we do. We're proud to be with them. Sagicor. Log on, get your free quote, and do it right now at Sagicor. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Adam Schefter writes, Cardinal cornerback Patrick Peterson being suspended the first 6 games of the 2019 season for violating the NFL's performance-enhancing drug policy. League sources telling ESPN on Thursday. Details of what Peterson did and when he did it remain confidential as per NFL PED policy. 8-time Pro Bowl selection dropped his appeal, and the suspension is expected to be officially handed down at some point in the next week. Patrick Peterson, in recent weeks, his online behavior was erratic. I think that's the best way to put it. We had Kent Summers on right after the draft, and I asked him about what's going on with Patrick Peterson and some of the stuff that was on his social. It just didn't make sense. And then there's websites all over the place doing the clickbait thing and putting up, he's going to get traded to the Chiefs, and it all reads good, although there's nothing there to it. And then people spend hours debating about whether he should be traded to the Chiefs or not. It's just silly. It's ridiculous. But it's part of our industry right now. Oh, we got all these views, all these clicks today. Yeah, none of it was freaking true. So Adam Schefter puts this out, and I mean, to think that the Cardinals are a rock of stability right now in our marketplace. You may be a season ticket holder. It's fine. You may be completely intrigued with Kyler Murray. Great. You should be. You may be wondering out loud about a coach that's never coached in the NFL and came here with a losing record, as you should. I'm not hating. He's hating. He's not saying, rah, rah, go team. No, that's not me. Turn the channel. That's not me. Facts are, here's facts. Coach doesn't have any experience in the NFL. Losing record comes here. Fact. Kyler Murray comes here, number one overall pick. They get rid of Josh Rosen. They're putting their faith in Kyler Murray. Fact. Their best player, in a lot of people's opinions, at this stage of his career, is Patrick Peterson. You know, the so-called leader that wanted out of here last year, basically online, on social, I'm gone. I don't want to be here. Had to be talked off the ledge. So, Bengals wide receiver A.J. Green called Peterson the best cornerback in the league earlier this month on the Adam Schefter podcast. That all sounds well and good. It's fine. You're not on the field to prove it. Peterson will be eligible to return. Eligible, keyword, October 20th at the New York Giants. If you remember last month, he was not at the voluntary minicamp. The trade speculation, because now he's not scheduled to be reinstated until shortly before the NFL trade deadline. Let's just do the math here. Math is today suspended. Now the Cardinals haven't released anything as of yet. The last time Adam Schefter put something out like this that was wrong was, I don't know, never. So May gone, back after six games. The winners in all this are the Detroit Lions, the Baltimore Ravens, the Carolina Panthers, the Seattle Seahawks, Cincinnati Bengals, and the Atlanta Falcons. Those are the six teams that now do not have to worry about Patrick Peterson lining up on the field. The way that it will be spun, I am sure, is usually this is spun. There'll be the Cardinal fans that will say complete BS, total misunderstanding. We'll hear that. It doesn't matter. Here's the facts. He's not going to be on the field. He dropped his appeal. Dropping the appeal means, all right, I surrender. People hating on me and all this nonsense we're going to read online. I just don't care. I just flat don't care. The end result is you're not here for six games. And the key part of this whole deal is he's not going to be reinstated until right before the NFL trade deadline. That is, to me, the biggest takeaway of all of this. Yeah, he's not going to be on the field. And I don't care about August. August football is fake. It's just something to get you guys geeked up about. Even the first week or two of the NFL season, the play isn't as good as it should be because regular guys have been playing during preseason football. It's a fact. The quality is not as good. It's a long-ass season. So guys are trying to work their way through. And when he comes back, are the Cardinals 5-1? Are the Cardinals 2-4? When he comes back, are we going to hear all this? Well, when Patrick comes back, we're going to hear Cliff Kingsbury say, I'm not talking about guys that aren't here, or in this case, because Patrick's already very fragile from what we're finding. When Patrick gets back, we really look forward to him returning. It's a big blow to the locker room. It's a big blow to this, big blow. All the stuff that you hear through the years when guys get in trouble in sports. And then Patrick will come back and he'll stand at the podium at the Cardinals, you know, stadium, State Farm Field behind him, and he'll say, it's my fault, it's my responsibility, it's on me, I'm here, I want to help out my teammates, we got a lot of ground to make up. And you hear this stuff over and over and over. So today's a hit to the team, no other way to spin it. Today is another hit towards the upcoming season. Because Cliff Kingsbury is going to have a lot of people saying, what did they get there in Arizona, a guy that didn't have any head coaching experience in the NFL? Yeah, he throws the ball over the field. Maybe you guys are into arena football. I don't know. 60-45 games. Maybe that's what it's going to take this year. And then, you know, the Byron Murphy impact, the Buda Baker impact, Think of the younger guys, the back end of the secondary that are going to be impacted by this. We're going to hear the term step up. Got to step up. Next man up. Step up. Next man up. You're going to hear all that off of this. So what's interesting is Adam Schefter writes, Arizona has been aware of Peterson's pending suspension. Of course they are. And the Cardinals used the 33rd overall pick in last month's draft on Washington quarterback Byron Murphy. He has 2 years left on his contract. He's set to make a base of $11 million this season. So that is the big story of the day. There's other things that I'll get to that I'm very interested in outside of a star player in our community falling from grace for at least the moment for the next six weeks to start the season out. We'll have Scott Bordeaux up next. I'm Brad Sussmad. Scott Bordeaux now with us with The Athletic AZ. Great content there at The Athletic AZ, Arizona Cardinal insider. Patrick Peterson, 6-game suspension. What was your reaction when you heard the news?
Initially, Brad, shocked, surprised, immediately started thinking about ramifications for the football team and for Peterson's future with the Cardinals. There are a lot of tenets to the story that aren't just immediate. This has long-standing issues for the Cardinals in terms of what do they do with Patrick Peterson in the future beyond his contract. This is a big story that's just going to get bigger when you think about everything going on.
Okay, so let's dial this back, and I know it's very early. It's not even a half hour into this news coming out, but most NFL performance-enhancing drug policy violations for first-time offenders, from what I've read and what I've known in the past, don't result in 6 games. They usually go with 4. I know it's early, Scott. What is the reason here? This is the first time this has happened to Patrick. Why 6?
Because the policy states that if you've been found out to have a performance-enhancing drug and then also a masking agent or a diuretic to try to get that out of your system, the suspension goes from 4 weeks to 6 weeks. What they're saying is if there's obviously intent here in taking this and then trying to flush it from your system before you're tested, you're going to get hit with another 2 weeks, and that's why there's a 6-game suspension.
Okay, and the Cardinals obviously haven't said anything yet. But when Adam Schefter puts this out, this is not something you just throw out there wildly, and it's been confirmed from what I'm reading and hearing. The on-the-field part of it that you alluded to, okay, so the 6 games puts him up against the NFL trade deadline by a couple of weeks. That's you and I are on the same page here. That's like the next big benchmark. Yeah, it's going to impact Byron Murphy and Buda Baker. We'll get into that in a minute, but the long standing of Patrick Peterson being here, is his time as a Cardinal really in jeopardy, Scott, because of this?
Well, I think it is long term. I mean, is another team going to well, I guess you can answer it two ways, Brad.
Sure.
It's unlikely now another team's going to trade for Patrick Peterson just 2 weeks before the deadline when he hasn't played all season and he's coming off a performance enhancing drug suspension. I mean, if you're another team, how do you know he's going to stay clean and stay off the suspension list again? And then he'll only have played in maybe 1 or 2 games before the trade deadline. But in terms of his contract going forward, he's got 2 years left in his deal. Do the Cardinals really, after what's happened with Patrick Peterson last October with the trade request and then rescinding it, then not showing up for camps, this summer, and now this, do they really want to even think about re-signing him once that contract is up? I would think no. I think this suspension probably tells us that Patrick Peterson's time with the Cardinals is coming to an end in 2 seasons. So that's just a guess. Could things change? Absolutely. But that's where I'm sitting right now.
Okay, 2 more seasons of erratic behavior, because I would call his behavior last October and his social stuff here in the offseason erratic. Would you?
It's more mysterious to me or what's going on. He made the trade request last October, then sits down with Michael Biddle for 30 minutes, rescinds it. And I really wonder if during the 30 minutes there was some talk about a contract extension for Patrick, and when it didn't get done this summer, that prompted his social media tirade. I don't know. I don't know if I call it erratic. To me, erratic sounds like somebody's not really all there mentally, maybe. I don't know if that's the case. I think this is just Patrick venting about something that we don't know what he's venting about.
Okay, so I'll disagree with you on the trade market for him, because there's always going to be, and he'll have 2 weeks to prove himself, there's always going to be the Raiders, there's always going to be the Cowboys, there's always going to be Tyrann Mathieu out there talking about his boy and all that stuff. There's always going to be somebody out there saying, give him a second chance in this league. This is a league of seconds and thirds and fourth chances in a lot of space. And if you can get him for a bag of rocks, I think the trademark for him would be pretty long. I really do.
That's why I don't think he will be traded, because of what you said of the bag of rocks. I mean, the Cardinals, you know, before, if the Cardinals wanted to trade him, they were going to demand a first-round pick. Is any team going to give up a first-round pick for Patrick when, given all the issues of the last year, and now he's coming off performance-enhancing drug suspension, and he's missed the first weeks of the season? I just don't think any team's going to give up a first-round pick to get him. And at that point, are the Cardinals going to sell Patrick Peterson for pennies on the dollar? Do you really want to trade a cornerback who, despite all the behavior, is still one of the best cornerbacks in football for a third or fourth round draft pick? I just don't see Arizona doing that.
Okay, Scott Bordeaux, The Athletic, AZ Cardinal Insider. I know your time is precious. A couple more questions, I'll let you go. The impact now of the back end of the defense and the immediate white-hot pressure on Byron Murphy and Buda Baker and others back there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, they've been searching for a number two corner for how long to pair opposite Patrick Peterson? They finally get Robert Alford, and they draft Byron Murphy, and all of a sudden you look at the cornerbacks and think, okay, they're pretty well set. And now this. Now they don't have a number one corner. Alford is coming off the worst season of his career, and he attributes it to a high ankle injury, but who knows? And now Byron Murphy is going to have to play a much larger role. He was, you know, pegged to be the slot cornerback. Now he's going to have to line up outside and be one of the two top corners and probably start the first six games of the season. I mean, they think highly of him. They had him ranked as the fifth best prospect on their board, but this is a lot more responsibility than he originally was going to get. And it goes without saying, this incredibly weakens the secondary and their ability to cover. It just cripples their defense. I mean, you take away one of the best corners in the game, and nothing against Byron Murphy or Robert Alford, but they're not Patrick Peterson. This one's really going to hurt.
Okay, so Adam Schefter wrote that the Cardinals were aware that this was coming. I'm always bothered when stuff is sat on and just waiting for an easy spot in the news cycle. Maybe it was just his suspension that he pulled out of appealing it. If they knew that this was coming, does that make the Byron Murphy pick make sense? To me, it made sense anyways. I was a big fan of that selection.
Yeah, I don't know when they knew of it. Did they know of it on April 25th or April 26th when they made the draft pick of Byron Murphy? I don't know. Or did they know of it just in the last week? We don't know the timetable of when the Cardinals were made aware of this. But if they were aware on the night they selected Murphy, I think that was the 26th, then his choice makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And look, they said they had him ranked fifth in their big board. So even if they did know about Patrick Peterson, that might make sense in the fact that they thought, well, we were getting a steal at 33 when we had him ranked as the fifth best player in the draft. So we just don't know when the Cardinals knew about it. But if they did know about it then the Murphy pick makes extreme sense.
Okay, how do the Cardinals spin this? Because all the interest...
You don't spin it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, but here's the thing, Scott. They're going to talk about their first-year coach and the interest in Cliff, as they should. They're going to talk the first-year interest in Kyler, as they should. You have to be able to stop people. This appears to me to be an Arena Football League type of score coming this season. We're going to want to see 45, 42 games out of this team because I don't think they're going to be able to stop people from moving the ball. You don't just take away somebody that good.
No, and to me, there were already concerns on the defensive line. That's not a very deep group. Either is the linebacking core. They don't really have any backup depth that has proven talent. And now you take away one of the top three corners in the game. And here's the other thing. With the offense Cliff Kingsbury is going to run, the college-type offense where they're in a hurry up 90% of the time, how much is that defense going to be in the field?
Yep.
A defense that is now undermanned on the back end. I mean, you're right. We could see a lot of 45 to 38 football games. They'll be entertaining, but I don't know how many of those games they'll win.
Okay, what have I not asked you on this deal? What is like in your wheelhouse you just want to hit out of the ballpark?
I think you've asked me everything.
There you go. Then I'll let you go. See ya.
All right. See you, Brian.
You got it. He's on the run. Scott Bordeaux. Athletic AZ, Cardinal Insider. Good stuff. We're going to switch over to some other things I want to get to because when you lay around, I swear I just felt like a toad laying around for 6 days. And there's people that have things that are really serious and severe. I had somebody reached out to me Monday night, and she's a canceled badass warrior and recover and beat it. Do you need anything? Are you okay? How are you really? Like, I got nothing. I just got my gut cut open in a couple spots. Eric went to Chicago to the NBA draft camp for some stuff, which is cool. I want to get to him on that. this Zion stuff about going back to school, I know you guys just want to make stuff up to pass the day. It's not happening. We'll get to all that and the Diamondbacks and Greinke next. So there are other things I want to get to on today's show. The lottery and how it worked out for the Suns or how it didn't work out for the Suns. People have been pointing this out. We forget about it. And when I talk on this show about how it hurts the Suns to win games, and people nonsensically put out what a great win for the Suns when they should be trying to lose. So when New Orleans played the Suns towards the end of the season, Josh Jackson hit a three late. Game gets tied. Alvin Gentry calls a timeout that he didn't have. Devin Booker hits a free throw, and New Orleans wins, or the Suns win the game. They beat New Orleans. So the timeout part of it, if you go all the way back to that one little play, and New Orleans gets the number one overall pick. That's why if you're going to lose, just keep losing. Figure out a way to keep losing. Josh, dribbled off your foot, anything. Like, we just don't seem to get it right here. And then the nonsense of, well, the sixth pick's not so bad. We could get rid of a lot of these assets, and we could still move up because we have so much stuff. It's like, how many years of losing do you want? Incompetence and ineptness. And I'm a fan of Monty Williams and the hire. I've said that on this show. I think Robert moving the practice facility, even though downtown doesn't like it much, I think it's smart of him to move it closer. I don't know where your players are, where your sponsors are. They're not all going to downtown. Downtown is now the 101 and the 202. That is downtown. It's a fact. Eric was in Chicago. What did I'll just give the backstory on this because it involved basketball. Eric sends me this note a couple weeks ago, and Eric never takes time off. He is always here. He never is gone for extended periods of time. And so it was really odd that he would come to me and say, well, I would like to have a couple days. Are you okay with this? You go to Chicago to work. Not only did you work, you did write a story while you were back there.
I did.
You got Zylan Cheatham. You didn't tell me you were going
to
do that.
I have to. I mean, I'm there. I'm working. He's there. He performed.
What were you doing back there? What were you doing back there?
Okay, so the NBA Combine is going on as we speak.
Right.
Sunday and Monday were showcase games for G League players to play in front of NBA scouts and personnel. There are all kinds of GMs, assistant coaches, yep, yada, yada, yada.
Agents.
And then Monday and Tuesday were showcase events for, I don't want to say second tier players, but not the Zion Williamsons and the
sure.
John Morants.
The guys are not going to be drafted in the first two rounds or free agents.
Potential second round picks, maybe late first round picks. So
okay, 10, a little bit better
10
than
of those 40 players were selected to participate in the NBA Combine.
Yeah.
So of those 40, 10 stayed in Chicago, and the other 30 flew out. So,
okay, so
cool
you're doing
experience.
A combine. You're like the NFL Combine, except it's the NBA.
Yeah.
How different is the NFL to the NBA Combine?
Similar in some ways. They still ran the 40. They still did the high jump.
Shuttle.
And the shuttle. But there were more games because they had two courts going. And they had all those players, so it's pretty simple. You know, four teams, 40 players, 10 players on each roster.
Who's coaching? Name guys or just guys?
Just guys. A couple former NBA players were coaching, and a couple G League, like Kobe Carl, who is the G League coach for the Lakers.
George Carl's kid
was one of the coaches. And then a few others I didn't recognize, but I'm sure they were associated with the league.
Okay, so what were you doing there?
Aspect. So I was in charge of producing the Tuesday game broadcasts, which were streamed. So Monday was like collect B-roll of players and games, talk to
B-roll
players.
B-roll in the business means video.
Video, like, yeah. Collect video. And then,
were you like this, or did you actually have people that
No,
were
I had
there?
Someone shooting for me.
Wow, look at that.
So.
Oh, man.
And then
I can hear this conversation in a couple weeks.
No, and then I worked in conjunction with the NBA because the NBA wanted particular guys and footage and interviews, but they only had a couple of their people there. So basically, they were working with me, and we were working with them, and we shared footage.
Got it.
And then, yeah. So I
fun?
Got to.
Was it fun?
It was fun. Yeah, the play-by-play voice was Noah Eagle. If you recognize
Ian
the
Eagle?
Last name, yeah, it's his son.
Cool.
Who graduated from Syracuse Monday and was in Chicago Tuesday.
That's
true
great.
Story.
That's great.
And Kevin Dana, who is the voice of the Warriors G League team, was the color analyst, along with Jameer Nelson, who just retired from the NBA.
The guard.
I believe. Yeah, really good player,
yeah.
Like last year, and is trying to
good
make
dude.
That, yeah, really good, and trying to make that transition over to broadcasting. So,
so you're
fun.
In Chicago, you're hanging out. Did you see anybody you're starstruck by? Did you see any players that are interesting? I saw Bol Bol was there doing his thing.
I did not see, like, a lot of the guys were not there, like
Zion.
The combine. No, I didn't see any of those guys. But I mean, Taco Fall was there, and he was pretty much just the talk of the,
because he's elite, so tall.
Yeah, of the elite camp, because yeah. He's you just don't realize how big he is until he walks past you.
It's so, like a shadow, right? The moon.
Yeah, and I put a little video up of him doing the vertical jump, and it's caught a little momentum online. So,
so what do you think about the Suns thing? I was just kind of, this is par for the course. It's just par
sixth
for the course.
Pick sixth. Sixth.
Yeah, I know.
Not fourth, not third, sixth. And then honestly, Brad, they're talking about guys like Jordan. I talked about a little bit yesterday. We had Gina Mizell on from the Athletic AZ, and she was spitting out players that I honestly didn't even really know. Like
yeah.
a point guard from Vanderbilt who got hurt in the first two games.
No, I mean,
all that stuff.
Unless you just are really, really a diehard. And like I saw Milwaukee last night, Julie Fye, who's one of the smartest people in the NBA that I know, and in all of PR, she runs the Suns PR. She's great. Julie's great. And Julie said to me once, it was the year that Hornacek almost got the team into the postseason. She said, if we can just get into the postseason, we can get people aware of our players. That's the biggest thing we need is awareness. And she's right. If you go through the playoffs, people are going to learn who these guys are. And so in Milwaukee, you know, Fear the Deer and all that stuff, it's awesome to see what's going on. But it's freaking Milwaukee. If you're from Milwaukee, great, knock yourself out. But I'm sitting here in Phoenix remembering what it was like for, I don't know, 16 years of my time here in Phoenix. And we're nowhere near close to that coming back. They're not close, guys. You don't go from 19 to 50 wins next year. And so to see the city of Milwaukee, like inside the NBA, is trying to get their show done, and there's just gobs of people everywhere of all shapes, sizes, colors, and they're having a great time, as it should be. And I see it, and I'm living here saying, man, this thing is bleeped up. I just can't believe it's gone down this far where there's cities around the country that, you know, I'm watching Eric Bledsoe, and it's how'd that trade work out? Anyways. All right, Goody at the Movies is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now, because Patrick Peterson has been suspended and Eric and I talked about what's going on in Chicago, I got into my surgery a little bit. It's time to have some fun. Goody at the Movies, AZ Central, Gannett, Chief Film and Media Critic. Because you're a media critic, I will ask you, have you read Howard Stern's new book that has just come out?
Sorry?
Have you read Howard Stern's new book that just came out or heard about it?
Hello?
Bill?
You there?
Bill?
Yeah, okay, I got you.
You got me? All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's do this. Bill, let's get it right into the movie, The Biggest Little Farm. Let's start out with the – I'll get to the book later. The Biggest Little Farm.
Yeah, you're really cutting in and out, but I can tell you about The Biggest Little Farm if you can hear me.
Yeah.
Okay, it sounds like something that is horrible. It's a movie about this successful documentary cinematographer and director and his successful private chef wife, and they kind of chuck it all and go create an organic farm. And it's, you know, that kind of thing. Like, yeah, it'd be nice if we could all afford to do such a thing. And it is a little short on how they fund stuff, but it's really fascinating and it's really exciting. I liked it a lot. Because he's so good at making movies and making things look good, it really looks good. And it's, I just, it, it doesn't sound like the kind of thing you'd want to see, or maybe it didn't sound like the kind of thing I would want to see, and I was surprised at how into it I got.
How do you find these movies, Bill?
They send them to me.
Yeah? You didn't, like, go to a screening on this one.
This one does have a little bit of a buzz about it. You asked me about Howard Stern just a minute before I sort of dropped the call, yes?
Yeah, the book. Did you read the book yet?
I have not read it yet, but what is interesting to me is that, as you call, I am about to hit the send button on a column I just wrote. Howard Stern is on The View today, and he talks with Meghan McCain about, I don't know how much of this you want to get into, the various sexual positions that she might have been conceived in. And she says on the air, I know. And he's like, what? And she's like, my mom told me.
Well, and with that, with that, I'll let you go because your line is dying out. Let Bill go off of that because I'm having some problems with Bill today. There are days like this. It's just business. It's live. All right. Eric Sorensen is our Senior Executive Vice President of Everything or Nothing, depending on the day. Devin Henry is the Chairman of the Board. This show repeats. If you did not hear on the Patrick Peterson front, Scott Bordeaux was really good a short time ago, and much, much more of our content's over on the website at sports360az.com. Have a great day.